Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
Same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are thrilled that Jason Wilde, who works harder than Matt Hamilton. Jason works harder on his day off than Matt Hamilton works on his days on ESPN Wisconsin. It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. Matt Hamilton will be in apparently Monday and Tuesday this upcoming week. I will not. So at least we'll have Matt around. But Jason, thanks for joining us on your day off.
I have talked to you a lot today, Jimmy.
I know. I was saying it's different. The last time that the few times I've filled in on Wilde and Tausch, it's been like the Rutledge and Hamilton because Molly wasn't a part of the show yet. Takeover. This time around, I was hosting with Jesse, and I got the vibe that he didn't want to upset you guys. Like throughout the show, it was just kind of like, hey, keep it down. I don't want to wake my parents up. Like it was just like I felt like a guest in someone else's house where I had to follow the house rules. It was a little different. It's the first time I had a show like that.
I don't know exactly what his thought process is there. I don't think Tausch and I clearly don't run a very tight ship, obviously.
You didn't either.
But like, you know, you could, we're first of all, we're really appreciative that you could fill in because I planned, these couple days, air quotes, off like 2 weeks ago. And apparently Tausch decided on like Wednesday that he was going to be here today. So thanks for stepping into the breach. And you know, I all kidding aside, two things. One, you know, I mentioned that Paula was giving me a hard time today because I'm supposed to be off. But this ain't hard work.
I think it is
work. I think it is important work at times. I think during COVID, you know, all of our shows
this week
were a great distraction this week as well, where you're not thinking about other stuff. But it is not as hard a work as a lot of other people do. So you'll never hear me complain. Now, that said, working with Jesse, I am curious how that 3-hour experience went for you. You're obviously familiar with his work, but he was getting boom roasted yesterday for something he said. And then I got more texts this morning because he apparently softened his take to make it more palatable to me so I would support him. And it was basically, for those that didn't catch this morning's show or yesterday's show that are listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, it was basically that the Packers defense is a little too fragile that a fourth round rookie missing time would throw it into a tizzy. And I thought I gave him some positive feedback while also pointing out that there's more nuance to it than that. But how did the 3 hours go with him?
I mean, it's exhausting. You know that. No, it went... He's exhausting. So actually, it went well. He was fun to host with. But I went from doing that show, and it was really fun to do the show. Because I'll be honest, when it started, I was like, 3 hours? Because he brought something up. He's like, I'm going to hit the Bucks. I'm like, yeah, whatever. We got 3 hours. We got plenty of time to hit on whatever you want to. But it did fly by. So that's a credit to Jesse. Also, poor clock management for him. So like, all of a sudden, we'd have like a 30-second segment. And be like, all right, back to break. But then I host a home remodeling show that I taped right at noon. So I was at 4 hours, and then I have this. So I'm happy. My wife will be thrilled
because
I won't want to talk when I get home. I talk a lot. I want to be done. I might physically not be able to talk anymore for the night. So that'll be good.
Jim, I love that you're hating on somebody for clock management when literally you try to get into a topic at like 5:16 when we needed to go to break.
I love being the co-host. I can just rip on the lead host and I can just come in and come and go as I want. It's lovely.
Yeah, tausching it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Jason, I was not able to talk to you on Tuesday when the trade deadline happened. So I was curious, what were your initial thoughts on the Preston Smith trade to the Steelers? I mean, I feel like, I guess I don't necessarily understand it. I know that there's been the reports of he requested the trade weeks ago and all that, but it just feels like the Packers are very thin in an already not very strong group of players.
Yeah. Well, my first thought was, What's up with that? What's up with that?
I should have incorporated that into my question.
I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie. You'll own that one. Look, I think it's a really interesting question because there's a bunch of layers to it. There's, first of all, the layer of Preston Smith. And let's be clear. Preston Smith told the Pittsburgh media that he requested a trade. This isn't an agent leaking it. This isn't, you know, somebody in the Packers building letting us know, hey, we really didn't want to trade him, but he wanted to be traded. Okay, so that's layer one. Layer two, though, is that I think the real question for me anyway is, had he not requested the trade, would he still have been traded? Because I do think that you saw his playing time the last couple weeks coinciding apparently with the trade request, decreasing. His production over the last month, I mean, he had 2.5 sacks in the first 5 games. He has 0 sacks and I believe 2 pressures in the last 4 games. And he's turning 32 years old on the 17th, which is like a little over a week away. And obviously this is a team that's not super interested in old guys. That's all on one side of the ledger. On the other side of the ledger, it's exactly the point you just made, Molly, which is, it's not like they're that good with him, and now you take him away. The one guy that's accomplished a lot in this league, he's other than Kenny Clark among defensive linemen, he is the most accomplished guy they had, right? He'd had double-digit sack seasons, like the guy, and he was a very good Packer. Let's make sure we say that too. Like he didn't miss games. He missed one his entire career, but the thinking that the Packers have, and they did it with Rasul Douglas last year, is we've got young guys we think aren't quite as good, but maybe because they'll get to play now, will become even better than what this player is currently. Now, I think they were wrong on Rasul Douglas. And the fact that they were in the market for a corner a year removed from trading away a corner tells you that that was probably a mistake and that they made it thinking they were 3-6 at the time and they weren't a playoff team. So that there's that layer. Now, the layer that I find the most interesting about this, though, other than the fact that Goody told us, well, it wasn't like we were calling a bunch of teams saying, hey, do you want Preston Smith? But when we got the call and we talked about it, we decided it was the right thing. That feels a little misleading. So he requested a trade, but you didn't make any calls to make that trade. And then the Steelers called. Now, it's possible that Preston Smith's agent obviously put the word out and the Steelers said, oh, this guy wants to be traded. Maybe we can get him for 7th. Great. But here's the layer that I think is interesting, because when in the final analysis, the Packers traded a 7th round pick to Tennessee to get Malik Willis. Now they have received a 7th round pick for Preston Smith. So the transitive property of transactions tells me that the Packers essentially traded Preston Smith for Malik Willis. And Malik Willis has been critical to them winning 3 games, right, without Jordan Love, 2.5 games that Jordan Love has missed. Is that a trade that you would, if I came to you and said, hey, Jordan Love's going to miss 2.5 games, and if you give up Preston Smith in a trade, you will win all 3 of those games. There is no way that Preston Smith was playing well enough that you would have said, no, I'd rather take my chances and maybe lose those games. So to me, it all comes out in the wash.
Jason, there's a weird chance here that the Packers and the Bears could be battling for last place in the division next week. And that says a lot more about the Packers than the Bears. But if the Bears win against New England, which they're favored, and they've been doing well at home, and they've been able to beat bad teams, it's the good teams that trip them up, the Bears would be 5-4. And the Packers, obviously, at 6-3, going to Soldier Field, the loser of that game would be obviously 6-well, the Packers would be 6-4, the Bears would be 6-4 if they won, and then into the bottom of the division. I don't think the Bears would win that game, but that is a wild swing of where this division is at, but also where the Packers are at.
Well, and let's look at it from the other side of the coin. They would both be tied at 6-4 for potentially the final playoff spot, right? Yeah. If you look at the conference standings, there's a good chance that whoever finishes 3rd in the NFC North will capture a wild card spot also, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the additional seventh wild card, playoff spot, three wild cards, it would not shock me at all if they end up with three teams, and whether that's, you know, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions, or the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, whatever it ends up coming out to be, this will be coming out of the bye a pivotal game for a guy in Matt LaFleur who has never lost to the Bears, never, 10-0, and you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. I'm not sure that the Bears can win a game against the Packers once every 6 years, but maybe.
Right.
But you're right, and so it's a pivotal game going both directions. It's a pivotal game for both teams to say, hey, we're more than competitive for that seventh spot, even if we're not going to win this division. Which, you know, the Packers, I'm not willing to say can't win the division, but it's an uphill climb. You look at their schedule and the fact that they lost two home games. Now, last year they went to Detroit and to Minnesota and won both games, so there's reason to think they can still do it. But the bottom line is that the Bears, who have obviously had their issues, and I don't know about you, you follow them much more closely than me, but it still feels like, you know, after you lose on the Hail Mary where you got Stevenson trash talking instead of paying attention, I'm really eager to see if the Bears rebound from this, or that's the start of kind of the death rattle for Eberflus. And while they may have their quarterback, they still don't end up having their coach. So I'm really curious to see how the second half of their season plays out, starting with this Patriots game, because of what you said, they not only need to win this game, but based on the wins that they've gotten this season, that's a game that they absolutely should win.
Yes, and they obviously let the Commanders beat them twice because they were not meant. They just didn't show up against Arizona, so maybe they've locked it back in
right.
The home game against
right.
New England. I wanted to ask this question because someone asked on your show when I was with Jesse, basically, what could the Packers do? Because I said the Detroit Lions have a different, I would say, mentality than the Packers. And not that the Packers aren't tough, but like the Lions are just Dan Campbell all the way down, David Montgomery, the defense, the offensive, like they're just gritty and tough, and they're just mean. And it's just, they're almost like the Ravens a little bit in their mentality. And not that the Packers aren't, but I think one thing the Packers could do, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, is if they view Jordan Love, at least the way he's playing right now, as more of a Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield type quarterback instead of the next Aaron Rodgers, that might serve them well, which means Marshawn Lloyd might be coming off IR, but you also have Wilson as well. Lean into the run game more and run your offense a little bit more how it looked like with Malik Willis, and maybe that gets Jordan Love back on track, and then he's a little bit more accurate, a little less turnover prone because his life's a little bit easier because the run game sets up the pass better. Like, is that something the Packers might do in this bye week, is just try to get back to basic for a few weeks and just let the run game set up the pass and make life a little bit easier for Jordan Love?
I think it would certainly make sense, and I think it would behoove them. I mean, look, you know, you and I and Jesse talked this morning. We were talking about Love and the interceptions, and you know, the interception that he threw. I'm going to fight the urge to make another wise crack about Matt and the math of pick six in LA, as hard as it is. But the pick six that he throws against the Lions is the result of a shot play down the field that was there, and they didn't block it up sufficiently to give him time to throw it. And then he tries to check it down where he should have just thrown it out of bounds, and it turns into a pick six, and the snowball starts downhill, and they can't recover. But the fact that LaFleur dialed up that play to go downfield to Jaden Reed, and that it would have worked had they protected, I think is interesting, because it makes me wonder if your question, if Matt LaFleur's response to you, if you were asking him, would be, no, we're still going to be aggressive. We got a good running back. He's in the top five or whatever in the league in rushing yards. We got some other guys we like, and we could certainly have Jordan be a little more just play within the system, and if it's not there, throw the ball out of bounds kind of a player. And that might be a good formula. I don't disagree with you on that, Jim. The issue is, does Matt LaFleur want to play that way? We know Jordan Love doesn't want to play that way. Does Matt LaFleur want to make him play that way? Because they do have the ability, you know, Josh Jacobs has been dealing with an ankle injury. I don't know about you, but for a guy playing with an ankle injury, he's looked pretty darn good the last couple weeks.
Yep.
I would definitely lean into him. That's the reason you got him, was because you can lean into him the way you did when Malik Willis was quarterbacking your team. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they play the Bears, just because there is a – I mean, let's look at the way the Lions won the game, right? Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown can come in his Green Bay one-word sucks hoodie, and he can talk about how delusional Packers fans are and this, that, and the next thing. But the fact of the matter is, the reasons the Lions won that game and won by 10 were A, Jordan Love threw a pick six, which was a backbreaker, and B, they played a pretty boring, take very minimal chances, don't turn the ball over, don't have your quarterback screw up game plan offensively, right? I mean, they had the one play where they did the kind of end around reverse thing where they lost 12 yards, which did not work very well for them late in the game. But the fact of the matter is they said, all right, it's raining. We're an outdoor team. We think our defense is playing well enough that these guys aren't going to get a lot on us. Let's not, you know, throw the entire playbook at them and take risks. Let's just let Jared Goff complete passes like he's been doing at an 80% clip the last several weeks. Let's give the ball to our two really good running backs and keep the score low and go beat these guys instead of, you know, they didn't need to score 52 like they did in the game the previous week against Tennessee. They knew what their formula was, and the Packers made so many self-inflicted mistakes that formula worked like a charm.
Last thing for me, Jason. I'm curious, do you think that Jordan Love's interception issue is something that can be coached away, or is it more so something that he just needs to learn and mature from? Slash, do you think he's even going to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's both, first of all. I think he can grow and understand that, hey, there are just certain times where I can't take the chance, right? And both of the pick sixes, we don't even have, like, let's just say neither one of them is actually caught. Let's say both of them are dropped by the defender. They're still really, really bad decisions, and you just lucked out that they didn't turn into touchdowns. He had another throw like that in the Detroit game, where it was like a bubble screen, and that could have been picked and taken to the house too. Like, he's got to be better with his decisions, but Rodgers spoiled us from the perspective of not putting the ball in harm's way. So it was just so rare that that's not normal. Now, that said, he's got to put it in harm's way a lot less than he has been, and that's to me that's something that can be coached. But he has to also be open to the mentality now, because he knows he's good, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't say that from he's become this arrogant, oh, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. I'm not saying that. But once you know what you can do in the NFL and you have confidence in what you can do in the NFL, you want to do the things that you know you can do in the NFL. And sometimes it leads you to do things that lead to interceptions or mistakes. And I think that's kind of what he's been working his way through. But I thought LaFleur was very clear that, look, I love his aggressiveness. I love his talent. I love his mentality. I just need him to recognize those times in the game where it's better to live to fight another day than to try and make something happen. And that's the way that Love has some Favre DNA in him, and that's the thing that these guys have to get a little bit. I'm not saying completely just take that away from him, but you got to get him to do it less than he is now, because you're going to keep losing games if you don't.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us on your day off.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Don't miss out on the festive season at the Bruce Company.